Hey, beautiful people. It is another incredible episode of MedShield Movement Connect show with me, Dr. Fez. In light of Child Protection Week, we have somebody who is an expert who has worked in the Child Protection Unit and is the founder of The Guardian, Detective Sergeant Mark Hardwick. Get ready to know what you don't know about being body brilliant. This is the MedShield Movement Connect show, where we connect the dots between fitness, health, wellness, nutrition, and of course you. Hosted by me, Dr. Fez Mkhize, and a special guest that we have every month, sharing knowledge, insights, and groundbreaking tips on how to get fitter, be stronger, and live healthier. Turn up the volume and listen close. Today you amplify. It's the MedShield Movement Connect show. Let's go. Thank you so much for sitting down with us, Mark.
You're very welcome.
Could you tell me a bit about how you came into child protection services?
So I joined the police many years ago. I left the police, I went overseas for a little bit. When I came back, I rejoined the police. And at the time that I rejoined, obviously you come back in with a certain amount of experience, you don't go to police college and all that again. And so the guy that was interviewing me was like, you know, if you were gonna come back, what would be, you know, where would you wanna go? And it was really just kind of saying, listen, I've always been really interested in working in the space of child protection. And interestingly, that day, the head of the child protection was there. And so he said to me, go and speak to her. And I did. And there was a space. And I think like 2-3 days later, I joined. And that was like way back in the 90s. And then I joined the child protection unit as a detective. I investigated crimes against children. In that space, you investigate things like, well, all sexual offences against child, so rape, sexual assault, indecent assault, but then also things like child prostitution, child trafficking, pornography, those kinds of things. I moved up and then I started in doing what's called project investigation, where you have a whole lot of detectives that work on a bigger case like syndicate paedophiles and that kind of thing. And then, about 2006, 2007, I left the police and I started up the company called The Guardian. And essentially, the initial idea was to do private investigation in this space, so to offer parents the ability to have an investigator that they could choose to do this privately if they chose to. But I think the company's morphed into a whole lot more than that. But that really kind of was the kind of entry into this, right?
Wow. No, I mean, clearly you have quite a good foundation and you understand the ins and outs, especially when it comes to the law. And as a parent, I know you have kids. What are some of the concepts or some of the safeguards that you would tell people at home to have when it comes to protecting their children while also not trying to be overbearing? Because I know that's the balance we want to strike, right? Kids will be kids. We want to make sure that they're out there going into the world. But what are some of the things that you would say they need to be or some of the things they need to do to make sure that their kids are in a safe space?
I think that it's a very difficult question to answer because I think everybody has different challenges, different children, different parenting styles, right? But I have to say that if there is like a global thread, it would probably be the fact that just be guarded against being your child's friend, right? Your child needs a parent. Yeah. Through our lives, we will have many, 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 many friends. But there's literally two people, save for the fact that you may have a blended family. But in most stations, there's two people that can be, there's one can be mom and one can be dad. And you as a mom or as a dad can have as many friends as you like, but there is a very real need for a mom-child relationship and a dad-child relationship. And so unfortunately, if being mom means not being a friend, you got to do that. And obviously the same being in the dad space. So yeah, advice, I think different stages of life would need parents to be asking questions about safeguarding, asking different questions. But I think the kind of the global overarching idea would really be to go know that this person isn't your friend. And even when we talk to kids about that, you know, we speak to kids and we kind of go, friends, like adults and children can't be friends. And we talk to them in the Stranger Danger and the Good Touch, Bad Touch training with the little ones. And I'll say, listen, an adult and a child can't be friends. And kids kind of get a bit confused. And you explain to them what's needed from a friend. You know, I'm a 51-year-old man. What I need from a friend, a child can't give me. If I'm having a problem with my boss, if I'm having a problem with my wife, if I'm having a problem with my kid, no kid can assist me in that. That's what I need from a friend. That's not to say that an adult and a child couldn't be friendly. That's to say they shouldn't be respectful of each other. But an adult and a child shouldn't be friend. And then you'll always have some kid that puts up their hand and go, well, what about mom? Or what about dad? Like, they're my best friend. And I want to say to kids, this is almost advice for life. And that is to go, your mom and dad are not your friend. Like, don't ever lower them to that position, because a parent is so significantly more important than a friend. So when mom is going, you can't go to that party, or you can't have that cell phone, or you shouldn't be engaging with those people, mom, be mom, you know. And when you're being mom, you're sitting at a level that is more than friend. So don't lower yourself to kind of go, I need to be friends with them and I need to kind of be part of it. You don't. Don't be that, because they really do need the parent.
I mean, you could almost say guardians, right? They're the ones who look after those
absolutely.
Kids.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
And I think what's funny is that that's where people would go, oh, but my kids should be my friends. They should be able to come speak to me. And I love that you said you can be friendly. You can engage with them in that friendly sense, but you are the guardian, the custodian, the person who's supposed to be looking after them. But in the show, we always say we try to connect the dots. So I'm going to try and pack kind of the concept of how we can maybe help them as they progress. Because you said as they get older, different things happen and they shift and the relationships also kind of shift. If I have a child who's in junior or senior primary, how do I approach the safeguards and the safety? And how does that shift when they get to high school and they're a bit more rebellious?
So I think, again, I think like the overarching golden rule would be, you know, firstly, make your actions and your words align. So be aware of saying to kids, as an example, spending too much time on the phone is bad, and then spending too much time on your phone, you know. So just make sure that actions and words align, certainly in the presence of the child. You know, you really do have a responsibility to behave in the way that's expected. And that window as a parent is limited, because the time comes when they're teenagers where, as a parent, you are going to become the dumbest human being on the planet to your teenager, right? So you do have a limited time to make sure that they understand what you're wanting to teach them. And then I would say the next step, and once you've kind of mastered that, the next step is to really talk into or look into the challenges that the child may be facing at that stage of life. So when we look, for example, and just in very broad strokes, when we look at education that we do with learners, you know, you may look at with little ones, something like Stranger Danger or Good Touch, Bad Touch. And then we move into kind of the senior primary space where there is the onset of online and social media and engaging with the internet and the challenges that arise in that space. And then, you know, once they get into high school, there is, I always refer to, as the age of sex, drugs, and rock and roll, but it is what it is, you know. Yeah. And the reality is that almost up until 10, 11, in as much as kids will refer to other kids as being their best friend, their go-to is going to be mom and dad, right? There is a natural need, a psychological natural need, that when you start going through teenage years and when you start going through adolescence, there is a need for you to look for stronger relationships outside of your core family. Otherwise, I mean, the human race would cease to exist, you know. Yes. We have to. And I think kids see that, you know. Kids look at mom and dad and they go, I know dad, and dad's got granny and granddad, and mom has got granny and grandpa, and they come from a different place. At some stage, I'm going to need to move on, which is challenging for the kids, and they see that. And so they start looking at creating friends. And one of the pieces of advice in that space for me, which has become more and more vitally important when I speak to parents, is to go, in all honesty, I believe, and I've seen the failure of this so often, is that as a parent, if you don't get it right to teach your kid how to be in the first team or be at the ducks of the school or an A stream academic, for me, and certainly in the world that I work in, the one place where you cannot fail as a parent is the education or the teaching of your child on how to choose a friend. Like, it is vital, vital, vital. Kids that come from you know, really affluent and really good backgrounds, and kids that come from more impoverished backgrounds, once they move into that phase of life, that high school stage, that they are going to be looking for friends, because it's a natural driver, outside of the circle of family, outside of the protection of family. And you're going to have kids that, for example, may feel that another kid, for example, is a little poorer. Mm-hmm. And so I want to share my lunch with that child. They're doing the good thing. Helping somebody doesn't mean that that person's your friend. Mm-hmm. You know, it means that you're helping somebody. Like, have the skill set on who I choose as a friend. Because when I choose the right person as a friend, I can then go and help so-and-so, but this is my friend. And as a parent, I've assisted you in choosing that person. Yeah. And I've shown you what characteristics you should look for in a friend. And so when you're turning to that friend for advice, the advice isn't, hey, let's go and try some drugs on Saturday night, or let's go and do the things that parents don't want you to be doing.
Yeah.
And they're possibly going to try that, but you want them to know that a friend isn't a person that just says yes. A friend is someone that's genuinely got your back. And choosing a friend is a skill that I think parents fail to teach so often.
Mm.
And in all honesty, when you sit, you know, in like terrible situations with a parent who may have learned of a suicide, and I'm not talking about a suicide where there were psychological problems. I'm talking about one where, you know, they've ended up going down a road and they've found themselves in a place where they thought they had no choices. Mm. It's invariably because the people that were around that child at the time just, you know, weren't making the right call. So, you know, I can't reiterate enough, you know, firstly, don't be their friend. And number two, teach them the skill on how to choose a friend. And with me, like my boys are little, right? But I'll say to them every single day on the way home from school, like before we go, how was the test? How was cricket practice? How was whatever? I was like, who did you play with today? No, I played with ABC.
Mm.
Okay, why? Oh, because they, with my boys, because he had a ball. You know, that was the reason
I chose him. Those are kids, yeah.
And I'm like, okay, cool. And let's unpack that. And I can understand why you did that. So I understand why you, but is he a friend? Or is, okay, not really a friend. He was a nice guy today. Good, that's okay.
I mean, it's beautiful that you say it that way, because discernment is so important. They talk about how you are the sum total of the people you hang around with. And that's not something that just comes into play when you're an adult. It's literally, if you're a human, environment is what's going to shape and mold you. And that's a really good skill set to be able to teach somebody when they're young. Now, we're speaking about, and I don't feel old, but I feel old when I compare myself to people in school nowadays. There's technology.
Sure.
How have you, as a parent, but also somebody within the child protective services space, seen a shift happen with technology? And how can we figure out a way, as a parent, as people who have nephews and nieces, to work around that?
So I think, I mean, we don't have a huge amount of time here, but I think that, again, kind of broad strokes advice would be, as a parent, take the learnings that you know from your parents, right? The thing, the rules that your parents applied to real world protection. Because, you know, there's people that grew up, they're now parents, but they grew up in a time where technology wasn't around. Yeah. So how do you learn from your parents how to police technology when your parents didn't have to teach parent technology, right? So if that's the space, apply the logic. So as an example, a daughter may want to go out and she's 15 years old. Mm. Okay, cool. So what would we do if our 15-year-old daughter doesn't go out? The first question I'm going to say, where are you going? How are you getting there? How are you getting home? Who's going to be there? That is just standard real life protection.
Mm.
Now, you need to apply that rule in a similar space over here, right? Mm. So when we look at our kids and where they're going online, where are you going? I don't know where you're going, all right? When you get there, what are you going to look like? Mm. So when my daughter says, no, I'm going to the mall and I'm going to go watch movies with my friends, and I go, cool, how are you getting there? No, so-and-so's mom's taking us, so-and-so's mom bringing, that's all wonderful. And then she arrives in the lounge and she's wearing this tight little mini skirt and short little top, and, you know, she looks like she's trying to be too provocative. I'm going to say, go back and change. Well, apply that logic in the social world. Know where they're going, know what they look like, and know who they're speaking to. Then people go, okay, well, Mark, the problem is that social media, the kids have such a better understanding of social media than we do. So,
definitely.
And I think that the uncomfortable truth is that choosing to have a child at a time when technology is so significant, you can't not understand technology. You know, you can't. It's, if I had to say to you, listen, I'm going to take your child to ABC Center, surely you would be saying to me, okay, well, what's ABC Center? Yeah. Yeah. No, well, there's a movie there and, you know, there's a couple of restaurants. Oh, okay, cool. Now I understand what ABC Center is. But you wouldn't just say, yeah, okay, go. Yeah. Because I very well may be taking the person to, I don't know, an escort agency or drug den.
Sure.
You know, so find out what ABC is.
Sure.
And unfortunately, choosing to have kids today means that there is a responsibility on you to know where they're going. Have an app on the phone. When a child wants to download their TikTok or whatever it is that they want to download, let it come across your phone. Let make it be you've got to put your thumbprints on. And when they want to download and you don't know what the hell it is, you know, don't just make the assumption that TikTok is a stopwatch. You know?
Listen, I'm pretty sure, like my mom, when I speak to her, she also goes, I don't know. She kind of stopped on Facebook and she said, that's where my friends are and I'm going to hang out with my friends. TikTok is a very foreign language to her. You have kids, and I just want from your experience, are you giving your sons a phone? Do they have a phone? Do they play with your phone? What have you been doing with them that's kind of ensured that you have some level of understanding and control when it comes to the internet?
So rule of thumb, and this is my wife and I had a conversation years ago. My boys are little. So I've got a 10 and a 12-year-old. The rule of thumb is excuse me, that 12 years old, you can get a phone. Excuse me. On our website, which is a resource that is available to parents, they can just go and download it. But on there, it's what we call, what's called the real cell phone contract.
Yeah.
And now you receive a cell phone and you need to sign a contract. Like I need to sign a contract with MTN and Vodacom, but this is the real contract, right?
Yeah.
This is the one between you and me.
The most important.
And these are the rules.
Yeah.
And just like if I don't meet the contract criteria with MTN, I'm going to lose my phone. Well, that's exactly the same, but you must know that up front. Like, don't be shocked when it goes.
Yeah, I like that. That's that guardian, like, you know what I'm going to tell you need to do.
Absolutely. So things like, you'll never have a password on your phone that I don't know. If I pick up your phone and I can't get into your phone, well, you're in violation of the contract. And there's a sanction for that, you know. And so we need to kind of get those things sorted out. And the contract is on there. It's tailorable, you know, fits it to what fits in your family. I'm not saying 12 is the year. For us, it was. But then the other side of the coin is also going, I think that parents that make the call to go, no technology, no cell phones, no engaging with the internet until you're an adult, I think you're also setting up a big problem because they're growing up in a technology-rich world.
Exactly.
And not understanding technology, I think, puts them on the back foot anyway.
Mm.
So know that you're raising a kid in a technology-rich world and get to know the technology, set the boundaries, and police the boundaries.
In your experience, and I know you can never encompass everything, what are some of the key things that jump out at you just in your mind that you would say, oh, because you did speak about stranger danger and the concept of being able to have good touch, bad touch. What are just some of the concepts that just jump out at you right now that you would tell parents to look into around concepts for child protection?
Stranger danger as an education, as a topic, is a good one. You know, we want to tell kids to be aware of that. But we need to bear in mind that statistically, the person that's going to hurt the child, it's like 80-85% of the time, it's going to be a family member, you know, 10-15% of the rest of the time, it's going to be a close family friend. And the amount of time that it's actually a stranger is tiny.
Mm.
So the education is good, but we need to apply the education with the realization that even if they take that education, they're really protecting themselves from like 5% of the potential threat.
Mm.
And in all honesty, if we never ever told them that strangers were dangerous, and we told them that anybody that kind of brings them into that space of feeling uncomfortable, they must report, we significantly create a place where they're better, they're safer. But there's also an inside understanding, like I was talking about you earlier, is the grooming process, where there is a phase in the grooming process. There's six phases to grooming, and I'm not going to get into that, but what I am going to say is there is a phase in the grooming process where the grooming predator is going to take time to win over the trust of the guardian or parent.
Yeah.
And so very, very often we inadvertently see a parent, or we see a parent inadvertently creating a trust that the child shouldn't have with this person because of the relationship.
Mm.
So you can trust this person because they're doing so many good things for you. You can trust this person because they are, you know, a minister at a church, a teacher at a school, the first team coach, whatever it may be. And we need to be aware that the grooming predator creates confusion for the child. The confusion for the child is going to be dealt with by turning to mom or dad. Mm. When mom or dad say, don't have to be confused, the person's okay, the risk factor just goes through the roof. Yeah. But it is a step in the process. It's a stage of the grooming. And we just need to be aware of that.
I mean, there you have it. You need to be able to teach your children to have that kind of intuition and also be discerning when it comes to friends and teachers or anybody who's training them, and then also open up the space for them to feed back to you so they can tell you if they don't feel comfortable, and always reinforcing. I think that's what I'm picking up, reinforcing that it's good to be discerning and not just accept everything. But yeah, it's a topic that is going to continuously need to be addressed, and I'm hoping that we will be addressing it even more in the future. Yeah. Thank you so much, Mark. I know this is something where everybody will want more information, want to be able to speak with other parents even. Could you just let us know if there is any tool or means for people to go and get all that information that they might need? Because we don't have as long a time as this topic might have right now. We might come back to it and revisit it.
So there's a difference between safeguarding and safety. And I think that's a challenge that many people don't understand. So safety is realizing that we need to protect people from the environment. Occupational Health and Safety Act, at work you must have fire hydrants and you must have evacuation processes, etc. That's safety. Safeguarding is a little different. Safeguarding is the realization that if two people come together, there is the potential or possible, well, there's not even a potential, it's going to happen, there's going to be a relationship that develops mm-hmm. after that. And if there's the potential for a relationship, it means that there is the potential for that relationship to go toxic, yeah. which may look like harassment, sexual assault, et cetera, inappropriate online behavior, whatever. So if we understand then that our kids, by default and by law, have to create a relationship with an educator, have to create a relationship with a coach, we've got to be mindful of the fact that there's the possibility that that relationship can go toxic. Mm. And so I think that in the safeguarding space, the question is, what do we put in place to mitigate the toxicity of those relationships? Mm. So for example, going back to safety, right? You don't put a seatbelt on because you're going to have an accident. It's in case. Mm. You don't put burglar bars on your window because someone's going to break in. It's in case, right? So it's, what do we put in place in case something goes wrong? So asking your school, what is the change room policy at the school? What is the policy pertaining to clearances against the sex offenders register for educators? What is the policy in terms of when we go on tour? What is the photography policy at the school? Do you have one? If you don't, like, when are we getting one? Mm. Is there a person at the school specifically designated to the safeguarding? I'm not talking about the safety. Very often schools will go, yeah, you know, we've got a school counselor, we've got a psychologist. Yeah, but those are reactive things. That's somebody that's going to engage with the kid if we identify a problem. What do we put in place to stop the problem happening in the first place? Because historically, catching a pedophile and getting the child to really good counseling was the win. The win can't be that. The win has got to be, what did we do to stop the pedophile engaging with the child in the beginning? So for me, I think that that's a very, very real thing. I think we have to be asking the questions. And we're in the process now, and I want to almost say, watch this space.
Watch this space, and you can tell them at home.
Yeah, we're going to be creating, and we're setting up the structures, but probably within the next month to 6 weeks, parents will have the ability to join what we're calling the Guardian Army. And the Guardian Army is really a social media space. It's an online space where parents will get really healthy information in terms of how they parent kids at various stages, what questions they should be asking, what they can do to empower themselves to get that safeguarding right in the places where their kids are, at clubs and at schools and at church and at all the other places where they may be going. And then also, you know, if there is a situation where a kid is going, you know, I saw this, or this person asked me this, the parent will also be able to go, okay, this has happened, how do we deal with this? Mm. And there's been a lot of real positive reaction to it. We haven't launched it yet. We've kind of just been putting tidbits out, but we've got a lot of people kind of going, how do we join this thing? How do we join this thing? And, you know, it would be massively valuable for parents, I think, that once this thing launches, for them to be looking at our website, watching how they can get there, doing some online courses and join the Guardian Army, right?
No, that sounds amazing, Mark. And as everybody knows, community is how you're able to look after each other. It takes a village. So you've heard it. You need to make sure that you're guardians, friendly guardians, but guardians. You need to also make sure that your kids understand how to make friends. Safety and safeguarding. Be proactive. Reactive is good, but proactive is the way forward. And hopefully you'll go to the Guardian website and read everything that Mark has in store when it comes to the Guardian Army, when it comes to looking after your kids. I think it's a really great initiative, especially on Child Protection Week. And that has been another incredible episode of MedShield Movement Connect Show. And I'll see you on the next one.